Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves,
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, with my co-host, Tim Bench, from the state of Texas, Glenn McMillian, from the state of Texas, Courtney Carruthers, from the state of Illinois, Steve Corder, from the state of Florida, Patrick L. Medlock, from the state of Florida, Willie Williams III, from the state of Texas, Clay Phillips, from the state of Georgia, and Brian Christian Coleman, from the state of New Jersey. Ladies and gentlemen, we are grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. If you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light radio show.
We will follow His command. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, and let its radiant beams light the world.
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be my co-host on the show this evening as they break unto us the bread of life. We pray that you will bless them and their families that support their efforts to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will be with our, bless our listeners who are listening this evening through Blog Talk Radio and through social media, whatever it means. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked, that they will consider their eternal stance before you, and it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you'll forgive us for the sins we've committed in our minds and our bodies. For we know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Jesus Christ's blessed name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to our radio show this evening. In the first segment of the broadcast, my co-host, Courtney Carruthers, he serves as the evangelist with the Colonial Village Church of Christ in Chicago, Illinois. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ. And then in the second segment, I have a question from my shouted out platform on social media, Facebook, and my co-host, Steve Cordell. He serves with the Central Church of Christ there in Monticello, Florida. He'll be answering our question in that segment. And then to close out the show, my co-host, Willie Williams III. He serves as the evangelist with the North Colony Church of Christ there in Dallas, Texas. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Courtney Carruthers. Stay tuned for the Gospel Light radio show. Radio show. Now my co-host Courtney Carruthers and his subject, Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to come to speak on this program tonight. I want to thank Stevie B for the opportunity. Thank God for providing us the grace to minister to many people who are listening. It is our hope and trust that those who are listening will be able to take notes that will be sufficient for the study and also give them the information that they are needing to understand better what the will of God is. As we embark upon the study talking about the better covenant of Jesus Christ, we in the churches of Christ are very thankful for everyone who listens to us on a faithful basis. Also, we in the Church of Christ speak when the Bible speaks, and we're silent when the Bible is silent. And we understand that the salvation of Jesus is offered to many. The salvation of Jesus, as we understand it, is a now salvation. Emphasizing the word now, the Bible tells us in Acts 22:16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Emphasizing the word now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Peter concludes, emphasizing the word now, he concludes saying, 1 Peter 3:21, the light figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. It is our sincere hope that as many of you listen and are members of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, that you will make Christ the center of your life by believing the word of God according to the scriptures, repenting of your sins according to the scriptures, confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God according to the scriptures, Luke 22:16, and being buried with him in the watery grave of baptism according to the scriptures, Mark 16:16, Romans 6:1-4. Now, for our study to this hour, I want to call your attention to Hebrews chapter 8, and the verses are 6 through 13. Hebrews chapter 8, and the verses are 6 through verse 13. My Bible and your Bible reads as thus. Hebrews 6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because, finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming. Behold, the days are coming says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, and says the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of the of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The major motivational message that we are to glean from the contextual thought of Hebrews 8:6-13 for inspirational impact involvement in the salvation of Jesus the King. The Hebrew writer is simply encouraging his writer to focus on the finer quality for which the covenant of Jesus has to offer versus the old covenant of Moses. By way of teaching the understanding of this goal, it is basically presumed that Moses was the mediator of the old covenant and giving of the law, according to Galatians 3:9-19-20. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3:19-20, what purpose then does the law serve if it was added because of transgression? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. The people of Israel were so frightened at Mount Sinai that they begged Moses to speak to them so that they would not have to hear God speak, according to Exodus 20:18-21. But as we understand, this fear did not last long, for the people of Israel disobeyed the very law they promised to keep. And this is why the Bible makes this claim about the effectiveness of the new covenant, as to how much better it will be under Jesus, saying, as the mediator, for all shall come through the faith of the gospel. When we talk about the faith of the gospel, the word, the faith, is the requirement of what God gives for people to be saved. The faith, the definite article, the faith, denotes one faith or the response of God. Our response to that requirement is in relation to our faith. The faith, and having faith, means responding to the requirements of God. When people say they believe, which means assurance. We respond by faith because we are assured that with the faith of God, the requirement of God is true. For the Bible says in Hebrews 8:8-12 again, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their father. Emphasizing in that day when I took by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because that they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their righteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The better covenant that is referred to in this thought was announced by the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31:31-34. The promises were given to in a prophecy that assured the Jews of a future restoration. Jeremiah ministered during the closing years of the nation's history, before Judah went into Babylonian captivity. At a time when the nation's future seemed completely destroyed, God gave the promise of restoration and blessing. By way of understanding the profoundness of these blessings, we must understand the message given to us in Hebrews 8:6-13. And the motivational messages are as follows. Well, number one, the meaning of the mediator, Hebrews 8:6. The word mediator comes from a word called mesaites. Mesaites means someone who stands between the people and bring them together, a go-between and a dispute or a conflict. He must represent both parties. The old covenant with Israel has a mediator. In ceremonial matters, those were the priests. Moses, however, also acted as a mediator of the old covenant, according to Galatians 3:19, Exodus 20:19, Deuteronomy 5:5. In a sense, the prophets were mediators of God, of God's word to Israel. The strength of the new covenant is not only tied by his mediator, Jesus Christ, but the strength of it is tied into it because of what it is based on, and that is better promises. Sometimes the promises are only by one party, sometimes by both. Sometimes the promises are conditional, sometimes they are not. But promises are always involved. When promises are made by men, we know that men have and will break their promises. But when God makes a promise, we know that he will do what he says he will do. Therefore, it is important for us to hold God. It is important for us to hold to God's unchanging hand, because we have better promises from him, which is from God through his son, Jesus Christ. Two, the motivation for a matchless covenant, Hebrews 8:7-8. The major point that can be extracted from the start is that the old covenant was not false, but it had fault, according to Hebrews 8:8-12, which is a quote from Jeremiah 31 that serves as a pre-expectation of an effective plan for promises to bridge relationship, which is called ministry of reconciliation, to brighten relationship, which is called ministry of restoration, to bless relationship, which is called ministry of reward. Then number three, the ministry of the covenant, Hebrews 8:10-13. The new covenant will have a different sort of law, an internal, not external law. Everything under the old economy was primarily external. Under the old covenant, obedience was primarily out of fear of punishment. Under the new, it is to be out of adoring love and worshiping and thanksgiving. Formerly, God's law was given on stone's tablet and was to be written on the wrist and foreheads and doorposts as reminders, according to Deuteronomy 6:8-9. Even when the old law was given, of course, it was intended to be in his people's hearts, according to Deuteronomy 6:6. But the people could not write on their hearts like they could write on their doorposts. And at this time, the Holy Spirit, the only changer of hearts, was not yet given to believers. Now, however, the Spirit writes God's law in the minds and hearts of those who belong to him. And the new covenant, true worship, is internal, not external, real, but not ritual. According to Ezekiel 11:19-20, Ezekiel 36:26-27, John 14:17. Then number four, the mercifulness of the covenant, Hebrews 8:12-13. Here is the capstone of the new covenant. The new covenant provided mercy, while the covenant reminded people as to how had they had messed up. So by Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, he is able to provide compassion from the new covenant, comfort from the new covenant, courage from the new covenant, concern from the new covenant. Because of this covenant, the promise of forgiveness and the fellowship of God through his son, Jesus Christ, therefore we must commit ourselves to serve Jesus with a true heart. Serve Jesus by trusting him in our heart. Serve Jesus by being a testimony about what he has done for our heart. Serve Jesus by thanking him in our heart. Serve Jesus by walking and worshiping and winning souls because we want to bring people closer to Jesus Christ. The new covenant is a promise. A new covenant is God's precious please for us to understand that he loves us, he cares for us, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. When we go through our Monday misery, our Tuesday trials, our Wednesday worries, our Thursday tribulations, our Friday frustrations, by the new covenant, Jesus will be right there with us. So when we come into our Mondays, we'll have Mondays of mercy. We'll have Tuesdays of Thanksgiving. We have Wednesday worship. We have Thursday trust, Friday's faithfulness, and Saturday strength to keep worshiping, walking, and staying in the Word of God. We trust this evening that if something is said and pointed out as to the new covenant of Jesus, that you'll become associated with that covenant. This is our prayer and our plea, and we trust that your evening will go well in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events and activities announced on this radio show, please send me your announcements to 910-491-6405. Or send me your emails to butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. On November the 9th through the 15th, 2019, there'll be a 42nd annual homecoming at the Northside Church of Christ. And that address is 4736 Avenue B, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. For more information, please call 904-765-9830. Also, check out their website at www.nscocjax.com. On November the 17th through the 20th, 2019, there'll be a fall gospel meeting at the Metro Church of Christ. And that address is 5565 Muller Road, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46254. For more information, please call 317-347-8790. On November the 10th, 2019, there'll be a homecoming gospel meeting at the Inner City Church of Christ. And that address is 309 Similar Drive, Synovia Drive, Southwest Huntsville, Alabama, 35805. For more information, please call 256-539-0712. With special guest speakers, Dennis Hardaway from Enterprise, Mississippi, and Billy Moore from Ruleville, Mississippi. The Deep River Church of Christ in High Point, North Carolina, is seeking a full-time evangelist. The ideal candidate will be outreach-focused with a desire to win souls and has a keen ability to appeal well to a cross-cultural audience. For a copy of the full job description, visit the homepage of their website at www.deepriverchurchofchrist.org. To apply, send a resume, cover letter, and three professional references to Deep River CLC at triad.com. Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio the first Monday of every month. The Gospel Light Radio Show will be doing a special edition. That show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And our next scheduled special edition is on December the 4th, 2019. On Tuesday, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting the live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. Each week we have guest speakers from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ presenting lessons from the Word of God. And this next Tuesday, we'll be doing a special tribute show to the late Jack Evans Sr. He was the president of Southwestern Christian College. We also have on the show on Tuesday evening, we have the Community Corner segment. That segment's for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our community. We just provide our vendors a platform to just tell us about their small business. Also, my co-host Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, and Mark Skelton from Indianapolis, Indiana, will be making their proclamation of the gospel of Christ on the show as well. And then on Thursday night each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And each week we'll have, I have eight co-hosts on this show who'll be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week two of my co-hosts will be on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on the show. And then on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast radio show. And on this show each month, we have the Story Glory segment, the first Friday of each month, where we're interviewing the artists that we're playing on the show. And we're also debuting new music and featuring old music on the show as well. This Friday night, we'll be debuting some new music from Gerald Barnett from Cedar Hill, Texas. And then once a month, we're doing the Top 20 Countdown Show. The next scheduled Top 20 Countdown Show will be on November the 15th, where I'll be counting down my top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of November. my on-demand episodes. If you can't listen to these live shows, you can always go to my affiliate internet stations and pull up these on-demand episodes. I've been picked up on various platforms for these on-demand episodes. You can go to acaradio.net. You can go to Spotify, Apple, iTunes, iHeartRadio, CastBox. Go to CTunes. You got iWave Radio. We just got picked up on Deezer. You can go to Google Play, Podcast Addict. You can go to Listen Notes. You can go to Himalaya. You can go to the podcast app. You can go to LinkedIn, Beatport, Podbay, and Charttable. You can also go to my website, Spreaker.com. Just type my name in the search bar, Stevie R. Butler. You'll be able to see these on-demand episodes. You can also go to YouTube and go to my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. You can also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and see their playlist, Acapella Radio, to see these on-demand episodes. I'd like to give a shout-out to all of my sponsors. Certainly appreciate them sponsoring these radio shows. Sharon Norwood, she lives in Chicago, Illinois. Her company is called Organo, and her slogan is a health product for healthier living. And my sponsor, Bethesda Memorial Funeral Directory Crematory Services in DeSoto, Texas. And my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of A Touch of Class Apparel, Little Rock, in Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, C.J. Colson. She's with the Urban Health Institute for Monument. She lives in Monument, Colorado. And my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network, LLC. And they're from Dallas, Texas. The owners, Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And my sponsor is Cheryl Mirage. She's with the Compassionate Haiti Leaders. They've been serving Haiti, serving Northern Haiti for 20-plus years. And they invite you to become a part of something greater than yourself. So please visit and donate to Haiti at www.CompassionateHaitiLeader.faith. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She's from Nashville, Tennessee. The three E's of Stevie B's media production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. You are listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Stay tuned.
Be able to smile again. brought me low. Didn't know where to go. Oh, the pain and fear. Lord, won't you help me get out of here? He makes new from old. So then I look towards him, and at my first glance, he filled me with his love. He gave me a second chance. So I promised God that I was gonna keep mine eyes on him. I've got my eyes on Jesus. So no matter what comes, no matter what goes, what my mother told me, children, lift up your
listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a portion of the broadcast where we have our shouted out question, and we have received a question from an anonymous query from the state of Texas, and my co-host Steve Cordo from the Central Church of Christ there in Monticello, Florida. He'll be answering our question for the show this evening. How you doing, my brother?
Doing pretty well. How you doing, Stevie?
I'm doing just fine. Now, here's the question we have for your consideration. As I stated, this question is from an anonymous query from the state of Texas, and the scriptural reference that's used for this question is taken from Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. And the text says, "And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it was delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Now, this is the question, very simple question. Where did the devil receive his power? What say you to this question?
Well, if we obviously this is the, if you look at the context, this is Luke's account of the temptation of Jesus. And when you look at it, the devil takes him up to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And that's from the New King James Version that I was reading there. Now, the reading I did on this came up with basically one answer for this whole thing. The devil offering Jesus the authority represented by all those kingdoms and the glory. Now, let's put this in sort of a context. This is an attack on ambition or ego. And the human ego has been God-given. It's something that has to be held in check. We need an ego to give us initiative, to give us creativity, but it cannot be allowed to get out of control. And that's essentially what Satan was appealing to here with Jesus' ego. How do we use our ego, though, for God and for good and not for self? Jesus had the opportunity here to let his ego get the best of him, but he didn't. And then another angle to take this question is, did Satan really have all the power, and whether he was actually in control of the kingdoms to an extent that he could offer it to anyone he wished? Did he really have that power? And the leading answer I found in reading up on this text is that Satan is the father of all lies, and most likely he was lying in order to get Jesus to worship him. And there are some passages that are looked at and pointed to in an effort to show that Satan has power to give the kingdoms to whoever he wishes, such as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where Satan is called the prince of the demon of the air. In Ephesians 6, 12, it calls him, or talks about rather, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then 1 John 5, 19 says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, do these passages really prove Satan has all this power that he claims to have? Well, it doesn't. I don't think they do. Jesus could have answered Satan and reminded him that, hey, Satan, you're speaking to the one who's already got titled everything, because, after all, I am the Son of God. But it was necessary for Jesus to live in a humanly perfect life, and he responded by quoting Scripture. He did not appeal to his own power. He appointed, or rather appealed to Deuteronomy, as he did many times throughout this whole thing. You get behind me. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So Jesus did not stand on his own authority here. He's relying on the authority of Scripture. So he is availing himself of the and using the same resource that we can use, that is the Word of God, to combat Satan. And when you look at the Scriptures, it is abundantly apparent Satan does not have the authority over the kingdoms that he was claiming there. For instance, Psalm 2, verse 1, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Matthew 11:27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son reveals him. And then, of course, Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Romans 16 says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, and that's out of the New King James. And so, as to Satan's boast here in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, most likely, he's bluffing. And the Lord simply called his bluff. Because later in his ministry, Jesus would remark to the Pharisees that you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, or in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And I like the way the New American Standard Commentary on Luke breaks this down. It breaks it down by saying the devil led him up to a high place, showed him all in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And then he says in verse 6, I will give you, and it's an emphatic, I will give you, according to the New American Standard Commentary. I will give you authority, which is a word that is a favorite of Luke's, apparently. I will give you splendor or glory, and referring to the glory that would come to the ruler who possesses such authority. And being in those days, especially, a king and a ruler did bring a certain amount of glory and splendor with it. For it has been given to me. God is clearly the sovereign. And then he says, I can give it to whoever I wish, that God's son would one day rule over the kingdoms, though, is quite clear. The issue here is, how is Jesus going to achieve this? Would it be through the shortcut the devil offered, or by submitting to God's will, which involves suffering and death? The devil offered Jesus a crossless path to messiahship, and Luke assumed that the devil had, in fact, the authority, here in this writing is looking like he has the authority to do it, but when we put it together with the other passages, he's lying. He does not have the authority, and so Jesus is throwing it back at him. So if you want to sum it up in a two-point summation, Satan did not have the authority to give Jesus anything because Jesus, all things were created through Jesus, and Jesus is going to have all authority, we see in Matthew 28. Second, even if Jesus, or rather, even if Satan did have the authority and could give Jesus anything, remember, he's a liar and would not have carried through with it. So Jesus did the best thing anyone can do and answered him back with Scripture. So I don't believe he had the authority, and even if he did, he's a liar. He wouldn't have given it to Jesus anyway.
Hey, Steve, you know, you make a good point. We often give Satan too much credit.
I think we do sometimes. I think we can either we can go to one of two extremes. We can either underestimate him, or we can go to the other extreme and overestimate him.
Amen. Hey, brother, thank you for answering our question for today. Appreciate
it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned to the Gospel Light Radio Show. After the break, we'll have a lesson from my co-host, Willie Williams III. Stay tuned.
Our heart's desires must face the winds of doubt, expecting things from above and wanting now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The spirit strong and grows from day to day. If you flesh and weak and it calls me in praise, worldly treasures take a hold of you. We'll turn the wise man into narrow way and bump the slope in of every day and don't look back. Don't let material things keep you from going away when he comes back. We know that a living life, I'm sure, is wasting time. You see, the Lord knows all, and he will ease your mind. He's told us everything we have to do. Knock the door, we'll be open unto you. The narrow way and bump the slope in of every day and don't look back. Don't let material things keep you from going away when he comes back. Going away when he comes back.
coming back for you.
Stop, stop the government after all. Stop, stop the government after all. Stop, stop the
government
after all. Stop, walk down the narrow way and follow him every day and don't look back.
Jesus made it all.
Why not?
Do you think
Jesus
going away?
Why not?
Jesus
coming back for you.
He deserves
the love.
He deserves
your love.
Jesus made it all.
Why not?
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Now, my co-host, Willie Williams III, and his subject, Everyone Doesn't Want the Gospel.
I want to say good evening to each and every one of you. Hopefully this evening we'll be able to have an opportunity to really truly talk about the gospel and our responsibility to the gospel. The gospel is not just something that you receive, but if you receive the gospel, there is a responsibility that you have to do and that you have to carry out once you receive it. Matter of fact, the gospel is much like a baby. To have a baby is a blessing. But once you have the baby, your responsibility does not end when the child is born. There is a responsibility that you have to have once the child is here. Once you receive the gospel, that is such a blessing. And it comes from God, and you thank God for the blessing. But once you get the gospel, once you receive the gospel, then there is a responsibility that you have to have once you receive the gospel. With that understanding, the gospel is something to be shared. But you have to understand, not everyone desires, prays for, or wants the gospel. Here we are in Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is picking up Levi. The Bible says he's traveling along in verse 27. And as Jesus is traveling along, he went, and the Bible says Jesus saw a tax collector, and his name was Levi. And he was sitting at the tax booth, and he said unto him, "Follow me." You have to understand about tax collectors. Tax collectors were viewed by society as dishonorable men, men who are not upright, men who are deceitful, men who are liars. And so Jesus is traveling along. He sees Levi, and Levi is a tax collector. And if you can imagine, out of all of the people that you would choose in a society to carry out the gospel, why would Jesus pick Levi? Why would Jesus pick somebody whose reputation is deceitful, is a liar, and robs from the community? The Bible says Jesus is traveling along, and he says, "Follow me." The Bible says, and he got up and left everything and followed him. The Bible says that after spending some time with Jesus, Levi decided to throw a party. We're in verse 29. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors. And the Bible says, and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and the scribes begin to complain to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" The Bible says that Pharisees and those who were viewed from the religious community were traveling along. And when they were traveling along, they saw Jesus in the house, and he's eating and spending time with collector. And I want you to know the characters in the same sentence. But that's how the community views tax collectors. And has just come to him. Begin to talk, they murder, be viewed as a holy, righteous man, and his company, the people that he's around, they're sinners. Jesus, the Bible says that the Pharisees and the scribes did not talk to Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes were actually complaining to his disciples. But the Bible says when they said this, Jesus answered. Even though they were not talking to Jesus, they were complaining to his disciples. But Jesus heard and he spoke up for himself. And Jesus answered, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then Jesus says this, I did not come all the way from heaven to earth to call the righteous. I came from heaven to earth to call sinners. I came from heaven to earth. I've come all of this way not to call people who think they have it all together. I'm sent. I've come here so that I can minister and be with those who are sinners. So what you don't realize is I am in the right place. What Jesus was trying to communicate to them is what you don't realize, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Because I did not come to call people who think they have it together. So here's something that I realized about the gospel. The gospel is no benefit to you as long as you think you're a good person. As long as you think that I'm doing pretty well and I really don't need God, my life is going well, I have some money in the bank, I'm making some good decisions, you may love your family, you may be a good citizen, but as long as you think you're well, then the gospel will do no benefit. For those of us who go out and we try to spread the gospel, but here's something that has to be understood. If a person is not willing to accept their broken state, then the gospel is no benefit to them at all. A person would have to be willing to accept, I'm broken, that I can't do it without God. They would have to be willing to look in the mirror and say, you know what? These are my sins. And they would have to be willing to be truthful to themselves. And so, you know what Jesus said? Jesus says, I'm not here to beat you over the head with the word of God. And I'm not here to force you. So for those who think they're righteous, he said, well, then I didn't come for you. The gospel is not for you. Well, Jesus, who is the gospel for? The gospel is for the ones that know that they are sinned. For those who know that they're sinners. Those who look in the mirror and say, I know I'm undone. And then Jesus says, I've come here for you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the gospel to them that are perishing, it's foolishness. for those that you try to share the word of God with and share the gospel with, the Bible says for those that are of the world, those that are perishing, those that are enjoying this world, when you tell them about Jesus Christ, they will hear you, but they will perceive what you're saying as foolishness. But the Bible says, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. The gospel has power, but that power is not activated unless you're truthful with yourself. Any person that lies to themselves, the gospel becomes inactive in that person's life. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says, and the gospel, it saves, but the next verse says, if you keep in memory. Somebody says, well, does the gospel save? Yes, the gospel saves, but the next verse says, if. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, it says, if you hold fast, another translation says, if you keep in memory, or if you hold fast, as long as you hold on, you will be saved. That refutes the teaching of once saved, always saved. A person would have to be responsible and say, Jesus, I need you. There's a song that we sing, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. And then it says this, every hour I need thee. We don't really even sing that song much today. But I think we need to reflect back on the words of that song. What God is looking for is, do you know you need me? And if you know you need me, then I have a gospel that can save you. But if you act like you can do it all by yourself, you think maybe because of your education, you think maybe because of your pedigree and your family or whatever the case may be. If you think you're doing it by yourself, in the end, you will be sadly mistaken. The gospel has the power to not only remove your sins, but to give you an inheritance. Now, I understand it's not for everybody because everybody's not willing to be truthful. That's why Jesus gives the illustration in Luke chapter 14. He says, listen, he gives the parable of a man who creates a great feast. And he says, listen, the supper, the feast is ready. Go out and bring them in. The Bible says people start making excuses of why they couldn't come. And the Bible says, and the story goes that the master says, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go and get the blind. And I want you to go get the maimed, and I want you to go get the sick, and I want you to go get those who are wounded and they know they need help. Go bring them in. I've already sent out the initial invitation, and the initial invitation, it was rejected because people gave excuses of why they couldn't come. He says, well, fine. Well, go get those who are lame and blind and sick and bring them in. The Bible says they went out and brought those in, but they said, but master, we still have room. He says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go out to the highways and the byways so that my house can be filled. I already understand by the parable of Jesus Christ, everybody won't receive the gospel, even though the gospel is for everybody. Our responsibility as Christians is we have to go out and we have to find those who are looking for Jesus. They just don't know where to find him. And it's our job as children of light to go into dark places and let those in dark places know where they can receive their help. Sometimes we spend too much time with people who really don't want Jesus in the first place. And even though I have a responsibility to tell you, but you will not consume all of my time because there is somebody out there. sometimes you hear people say, well, the church is not growing, or, you know, people today, they don't want. That's not true. There are those, they are looking for Jesus in the liquor bottle. There's a young lady tonight. She's getting dressed and she's going to the club because she's looking for Jesus. She just doesn't know who she's looking for. Somebody has to stop her. Somebody has to stop him and say, hey, listen, I know who you're looking for. And it's Jesus Christ. I realize something, that the harvest is plentiful. So nothing is wrong with the harvest. What I realize is that the laborers are few. We got work to do, church. God bless you.
There's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. And we only reach that shore by faith's decree. One by one we'll gain the portals, there to dwell with the immortals. When they ring those golden bells for you and there's a land.
There's a land beyond the river
that we call.
And we call the sweet forever.
And we only,
and we only
reach that shore,
reach the shore
by faith's decree.
Faith decree.
In that far,
sweet forever.
Oh, just beyond
the shining river.
Oh,
Courtney Carruthers and Willie Williams III for their fine lessons on the broadcast this evening. I also want to thank my co-host, Steve Carter, for answering that question regarding the devil. That was a question from the state of Texas, and they wanted to know, did the devil receive power? I thought that was a great answer that Steve gave. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our prayer that the lessons that were given on this radio show have been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and that your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuning into this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of all of my co-hosts on the Gospel Light radio show, good night, everybody. God bless you.
Road Jordan, road.
Road Jordan,
road.
Road Jordan,
road. I want to go to heaven.
again or when I die.
To roll, John, on roll.
Oh,
roll, John,
I want to go to heaven or when I die.
To roll, John,
say, Mother, you ought to been there.
Oh, Mother, you ought to been there.
Lord, Mother, you ought to been there.
To roll, John, and roll.
Lord,
roll, John, and roll.
I want to go to heaven when I die.
To roll, John,
and roll. I'll say, Father, you ought to been there.
Oh, Father, you ought to been there.
Lord, Father, you ought to been there.
To roll, John, and roll.
Lord, roll. I want to go to heaven when I die.
To roll, John, and roll.
I say, Sister, you ought to been there.
Oh, Sister, you ought to been there.
Well, Sister, you ought to been there.
To roll, John, and roll.
Lord, roll.
Roll, John, and
roll.
Roll, John, and
roll. I want to go to heaven when I die.
Roll, John, and roll.
Lord, roll.
Roll, John, and roll.
Roll,
John, and
roll.
Roll, John, and
I want to go to heaven when I die.
Roll, John, and roll.
Lord, brother, you ought to been there.
Lord, brother, you ought to been there.
You ought to been there.
To roll, John, and roll.
Lord, roll.
Roll, John, and roll.
Roll, John, and
roll. Roll, John, and
roll.
Roll, John, and
I want to go to heaven when I die.
Roll, John, and roll.
I say, Christian, you ought to been there.
Oh, Christian, you ought to been there.
You ought to been there.
To roll, John, and roll.
Roll, John, and roll.
Roll, John, and
roll.
Roll, John, and
roll.
Roll, John, and
I want to go to heaven when I die.
Roll, John, and roll.
Roll, John, and
roll.
Roll, John, and
roll.
I said I want to go to heaven when I die.
To roll, John.
To the Gospel Light Radio Show, episode 166.
God has been around. The Lord's been around.
The Lord's been around.
God's been around.
Before the test of the earth.
I
I want to rest from my journey up here, and all the angels will beckon me. Then I'll rest eternally. Don't know the day nor the hour, but I know there's gonna be a happy day. Yeah, the Lord has a mansion prepared, a mansion prepared for you and for me. And in the